Hello, you lovely people. Hello, Stormy.
Hello, how you doing?
Good. It feels like forever, only because it has been forever since we last did a
I
show. We're just so happy to be here. Happy to see everybody in Twitch chat. Hi, Natty. Hi, Charlie Golf. So good to see you guys. White Monkey, hello. Yes, we are
know.
back. I cannot wait to get stuck into it. But it has been a while. Do want to kind of you gotta catch up a little bit. You gotta ease
I
into these
know.
things.
I know. I can't wait till we're back in the studio again, but like, I don't know. I feel like we just couldn't wait to just get started. I've been missing the Wednesday podcast.
I have too, and I can't wait to be back in the studio. But I tell you what, the work that Pete's putting into there at the moment is gonna be
Oh, it looks
amazing.
awesome.
He's posted a bit on his Instagram, Petey Perth there, if you want to go and see all the pictures. But we're basically painting a couple of the walls. So and I was talking to Pete as he was doing it, and because we were planning on painting one wall green for like a green screen, and he's painted it, and he goes, this is a lot like an Xbox screen color. I want to paint the other wall blue for PlayStation, and then we're going to get. So those that have watched the show live on twitch.tv/gameonoz before, or on our YouTube channel, would have seen the metal railing that we've got behind us. So we're going to put boards on there, and one bit's going to be red for Nintendo, and the other black for PC as well. So
That's so cool.
it's going to be lots of fun.
I'm looking forward to seeing that. Also, Dropper, thank you for the sub, by the way. You've been subscribed for 26 months. Thank you so much.
Bloody legend! Absolutely love it. But yes, can't wait to get back into the studio. Until then, of course, the show must go on. I've been itching. That's why, I didn't want to wait until the studio was open to do a show. I just wanted to do it now.
Yeah.
So let's get into it a bit. And I feel we need to go over what we've played, I reckon, because we've had a good break over Christmas and the New Year. So I cannot wait to hear what you've been playing, Stormy.
Well, I've been playing a bit of a mix of things since I've been on my holiday before going back to work. But there's one. Oh, actually, all the games I've been playing is really good. There's a pretty good range, but I feel like I have to start with Devil May Cry 5. Devil May Cry 5, I was gifted when the special edition came out. I feel like I want to say it was 2 years ago. Like, it was a little while ago now. And I know that the Devil May Cry franchise is quite popular. I've never played any of the other games in the franchise before. But I had a friend say to me, I think you'll really love it. And they bought it for me for my birthday. And I thought, look, new year, new games to stream and stuff as well. Let's pick up Devil May Cry 5. So I went into it completely blind. So for those who don't know, I mean, you all know that I like Capcom because I love Resident Evil, obviously. This is another Capcom game. So we're just changing it up ever so slightly. And yeah, so Devil May Cry, so the initial release date for this was the 8th of March 2019, when it came out. It's actually made on the RE engine, so as you can imagine, I'm used to the beautiful standard they have for their graphics, but this game is a very good looking game. And it's like a action adventure kind of hack and slash kind of, I'd probably say that's the best way to describe it. Like, don't ask me what's going on in the story because I have no idea. It's one of those games, and what I've learned while I've played, I reckon about 5 hours into it so far, it's very aware that it's very over the top. There's a lot of slow motion action sequences. The lines can be a little bit cheesy. Like, the game knows it's being like very over dramatic, and I kind of love it. What I really like as well, being new to the franchise, is like with the combat system, basically the better kind of combos and moves and stuff you do all at once, you have like a style score. So you'll start to see like a C rank and a B rank. It'll get like better and better. And then there's like, you can see it on the screen as well. You kind of get motivated to try and do the best kind of lot of combos and moves as much as possible. And I got my first S, so I was really happy about that. It's really addictive, especially, I don't know, maybe it's the competitive side of me that just wants to get an S on every, mission that I finish. I think I'm about five or six missions in. The characters are really intriguing as well. Like, again, it's Devil May Cry 5, but they give you a bit of a recap at the beginning of the game of what's happened in the others, but it still didn't make any sense to me. Like, it's so... The timelines are weird and there's heaps of characters kind of tying into one another. And I was like, you know what? I'm just going to play the game and we'll find out as we go.
I do like the hack and slash genre of games because it's just, it's over the top ridiculousness. And Devil May Cry in particular, like you say, it kind of just leans into that. And
it really does. And like, I've played so far as Dante, which is the Dante, the character here at the moment, who's really cool. Obviously, they've got like interchangeable like hands that they find. Basically, that have like different like abilities. And
I was
going like
to say because so I was going to say that looks like the X Buster from Mega Man.
Yeah. That's the Mega Man one, which is really cool. It's a nice little touch, and there's like different ones you pick up along the way. And there's another character called V that I've played as, and he doesn't do much of the combat, but he has, I don't know what the technical term for them are, but he's got like a panther and like a, I want to say it's like a. It's not an eagle, and it's not quite a... It's more like a raven, but bigger, and you control them, like, to do the attack, so you've got more long-range stuff, and that's really cool. So, yeah, I think it's just more so the combat that's pulled me into the game more than a story has. But, again, like, kind of what you were saying as well, Jim, because, like, the hack and slash, like, it just doesn't take itself too seriously because of the style scoring that's on the side that you see as you play. It does become slightly addictive because you do want to challenge yourself and see if you can get to the highest score possible. But yeah, no, I'm really loving it. Again, I couldn't tell you what's going on in the story.
I feel like the story's ancillary to, you know, just playing the games in these. I'm sure that, like I said, I'm sure there is a story, but it's kind of like the Bayonetta games. Like the Bayonetta games have a story. They're that hack and slash. You're trying to get the ranks and everything. But really, at the end of the day, all that matters is that you're a witch with a bodysuit made of hair that will occasionally come off and kick people in the ass. Yeah.
There's just like no sense to some of it sometimes, but I kind of love that. But yeah, the characters are very, very likable, very intriguing. But yeah, I'm interested to see what the game's like once I finish it, looking back. Because I've never played Devil May Cry before. But yeah, pleasant surprise. I'm kind of sad that I slept on this one for as long as I did. I wish if I knew that I would have enjoyed it this much and been that addicted to it, I would have started it much earlier. So that's my bloody good game of the week, Devil May Cry 5.
Nice.
Special edition.
Yeah, we kind of slipped into that one. We were going to talk a little bit about so some games in general, but I feel like if you're going to go big.
Yeah, I don't know. There was too many to pick from, but I feel like this one's definitely captured my attention.
Cool.
What about yours, Jim?
Well, mine, like you, I've played a few games over the break, but the one that's captured my attention, and I'm sure it's captured a lot of people's attention, is Hi-Fi Rush.
I can't wait to hear you talk about this, by the way, because I thought, you know what, I'm going to wait to hear you talk about it on the podcast, because this looks like your jam.
It really is, and I've just... been loving it. I love the musical aspect of it. Everything is on the beat. Everything in this world is on the beat. So the rhythm part of it is already reminding me of Metal Hellsinger, which, you know, people that watch the show will know how much I raved about Metal Hellsinger last year. But Hi-Fi Rush is slightly different in that it's obviously not a shooter, but it's that hack and slash game we were talking about. So you can see, you know, you've got ranks that you get when you get into fights, but just the art style and the humor in it, it all melds together and it's just this really cool game. And like it verges on slapstick sometimes with the comedy but it just all fits. Like this guy, he's really cocky, but it's not cocky to the point where you think, oh my God, I wish he'd shut up. But it's just really fun. But in terms of the gameplay, what I really love is that you cannot not hit on the beat.
I was going to ask you about that.
Yeah. So lots of other games punish you for not hitting on the beat. But this game rewards you for hitting on the beat. So the more accurate you are, the more damage you do and the better combos you're doing and that sort of thing. So I do really love that aspect of it. Kind of a little bit similar to Devil May Cry in the level layouts as well. So there's a few collectibles around to get, and I've got the impression that there was a bit of puzzle solving in Devil May Cry as well. So you got a little bit of that and trying to work out where you want to go, what you want to do. But just it just all fits together so nicely. And another thing that I really loved about it was just how it dropped. And I think like we've got to really understand the guys that made this. The last thing they made was the Evil Within. Or was it Ghostwire Tokyo? One of those.
No, it was Evil Within.
Is it?
Yeah.
So completely different games, and then they've been working on this one in the background quietly, and then all of a sudden, oh, by the way, here it is, and it's on Game Pass. Let's go. And it's just, yeah, I cannot say enough good things about it. And the way Twitter was talking about it after it got released, it's just so, so good.
It was trending on Twitter for a good day or two off memory, which, you know, it's interesting because I saw a lot of discourse online about, you know, this is obviously an example of a game that does well when it's dropped so randomly, but I saw so much of my feed that was like, not everyone should do this. I think you've got to do it well.
You've got to have a game that is as polished as this to be ready to drop just like that.
It's funny because before the show we were talking about having different games to present, and like in their own kind of weird way, like Devil May Cry and Hi-Fi Rush are somewhat similar in some respects with the ranking and that kind of hack and slash feel.
They've got their own little different flares. So like Hi-Fi Rush has the rhythm stuff, and it's kind of a little like cyberpunky because the way the game starts is this kid's got into a program with Vandalay Industries, I think it's called, and Vandalay basically give out cybernetics. So his arm gets, he's got something wrong with his arm. In the bits that I've played, I don't think you've ever found out. And he's getting a new arm. But a random series of events happen and he basically gets an iPod trapped in his chest, which is what creates the rhythm and the beat for him.
Yes.
But it's just, it's just really freaking cool, man. Like, I could quite easily spend all day playing this. And just how everything in the level as well happens on the beat. He stops there and like if you just stop there and idle, all of a sudden he's just clicking to the beat. It's everything about this is it's great. I love it. I don't have any more words for it, but
I love it. You're chuffed.
Yeah, I'm chuffed.
Yeah.
Yeah. To get two really good like rhythm based games within, you know, pretty much 6 months of each other. But that's really good.
You're spoiled. Absolutely. You're spoiled for your rhythm games, aren't you?
Yeah. I was about to say that just to finish up, that's my bloody good game of the week. And yes, thank you to Aussie Broadband again for this segment. Yeah, it's really cool.
Yeah, I was so excited to hear you talk about this more, which is why I refrained from asking you anything about it when it came out. Because I just know that I'll like this, and I think I'm almost too scared to play it, knowing how hooked I think I'll get on it. But yeah, no, I just love that. I don't know. I think sometimes there's this misconception with not all gamers, but some gamers where like if it's got that cartoony kind of look, like if you first look at this, you might not think much of it, but it sounds like there's a lot about this that's quite nuanced and really clever and complex. If you really put your heart and soul into it. I can't wait to try this one myself. It looks awesome.
Yeah. I feel that if you're judging a game based on its art style, you can have your preferences for art style. You can like what you like to look at, but honestly, like this sort of cel shading cartoony graphics. I adore this stuff. Like,
yeah, me too.
I'll never forget when Wind Waker, the trailer for Wind Waker was released. In fact, I'm just going to switch off this screen for now because we're getting a little bit away.
I'm getting distracted. Yeah. I'm watching it and I'm like, I'm so fascinated.
But yeah, but I never forget when the trailer for Wind Waker dropped. And it was a little bit about at the time when the GameCube was released, because when the GameCube was released, there was this video. It was like just a tech demo video of Link fighting Ganon, and it was like realistic. Actually, you know what? Let's see if I can find it.
You've just managed to find your way to bring up Zelda again.
I have. We're going to be talking about it later.
I feel like I need to
have
a counter for every time you find like a little. That was like the perfect segue into. Oh, it just reminds me of Wind Waker. That's okay. We need to have some kind of counter, like some bot. Nightbot. Jim talks about Zelda.
I'll get a. We'll get that set up, and everybody can just go plus one. But
yeah. Everyone does it at once.
Yeah, but get in here. Yeah. So this. So this has got a bit of Pokemon in it as well, but this was trying to show off like the power of the GameCube at the time, and it did look really good. But what got people was this demo of Link and Ganon fighting. Everybody loved it. Everybody, because the last game before this with Ganon in it was Ocarina of Time. So they're looking at this going, this is amazing, these graphics are awesome, I want to see this. And then the trailer that hits is Wind Waker with its cell shaded stuff, and I always remember the outrage because people thought they were getting the Space World demo Legend of Zelda rather than this cartoony Legend of Zelda, and people were not happy with it. But I will say one thing: Wind Waker has aged a lot better than a lot of other hyper realistic games on the GameCube back then. It's one of the advantages of going that sort of more cartoony look is that it does age better. But that was the bloody good games of the week there. And yeah, you know, Hi-Fi Rush got announced as part of the developer direct from Xbox and Bethesda. So this was a pretty cool little setup here. And just as I'm saying that, one of the OG Sticks comes in with his sub. Thank you so much, my dude. Welcome back. Thank you, Sticks, and welcome back to you too, good sir. But yeah, so the developer direct, we saw a few things there. For me, the highlight was Hi-Fi Rush out of that. Like, it was just such a pleasant surprise to see that, that coming about. Oh my God, Natty, you're right. I've just realized that's 60 months. That's 5 year sub from Six. 5 year anniversary sub. Wow. I cannot believe that you've paid money to us for that long. Why would you do that?
For 5 years. Yeah. Thank you so much, Sticks.
Yeah. I think he's our longest serving sub, Sticks. He's a good bloke. Do love it. In fact, I'm pretty sure he's still got a command in Twitch chat there. Hang on. I got to find out now.
Mysterious.
Yeah, there it is. Hey. Pizza. You get pizza, Sticks? Who's getting the pizza? Not me. Anyway, Pete must be getting all the pizza. But back to the developer director. So there was a few games that were announced there. Did you have any favorites out of that?
Well, the first one that I was interested to see a little bit more about, because I feel like it was kind of not talked about for a while and I was a bit on the quiet side, was Redfall. The Arkane Studios game, which actually did get a release date now. I think it's May the 2nd. They announced at the showcase, which is exciting. It's coming to Game Pass as well. I kind of like the survival horror aspect with it, and the fact that it's also co-op. Like, for me, that's a vibe. I think there is some hesitancy with how quiet it's kind of been on, like, you know, it's been on the down low a little bit. To, you know, kind of figure out how good it is. I think after, I guess, the start this year with games like Forspoken, maybe, I dread to mention, where it has gotten it didn't really have too much of a big kind of presence, I would maybe say. Like, you can argue with me and say that I'm wrong, but in terms of gameplay and what it showed off, it was kind of kept under wraps for a bit until the, like, just before the launch. So I think a lot of games that aren't kind of openly showcased as much, sometimes I feel like maybe as consumers we feel a little bit anxious to kind of see what the end result is going to be like. But I'm the optimist. I'd like to think that Redfall is going to be quite enjoyable. But only time will tell, I guess. I did want to have a look at what Minecraft Legends was like, but I actually didn't get the chance to. So Redfall was the main one I kind of got a little bit of news about.
I'm not a huge fan. Like, I like that it's co-op story. I think that would be the thing that would get me into Redfall a bit more there. Mm. But like games like Dead by Daylight, I'm pretty sure. I played a little bit of the Evil Dead one, but that was mainly because of I love Evil Dead. So, and I quite liked that one, but you know, and then the stuff like the Ghostbusters game that came out last year, and I'm just like,
I think
getting three other people together to actually play this game, because it's
hard
enough. It is, yeah, it's hard enough trying to coordinate two adults to do play games, so
let alone four.
I was reading
a Polygon article saying that basically the co-op aspect of Redfall is probably more alike to say Borderlands than it is to like Left 4 Dead, Back 4 Blood kind of style. So if it is in that kind of realm, that makes me maybe a little bit more keen for it.
If they do it like they do Borderlands as well, like the drop in drop out stuff for multiplayer for Borderlands was really, really good. So if they've got something like that, that would be amazing. Would love to see that. But yeah, you did mention Minecraft Legends, and like, I'm a bit like, I don't mind Minecraft, but generally what I do, I play it when I get in a mood for Minecraft, and all I do is dig straight down or dig like a big, big cavern type thing. Just
commit the biggest Minecraft crime is just to dig straight down. Yeah.
Really? Oh, you're not supposed to do that, because that's like
it's like a Minecraft spin. Yeah, like, I'm pretty sure I've seen it on a t-shirt. It's like, don't dig down. Like, don't dig straight down.
Shit. Well, I don't dig straight down. I like build myself stairs so I can get out.
Oh, okay. But I thought you were just looking like directly down and you just keep going. And I was like, dude, what are you doing?
No, not straight down. I build it at least so I can get back out again. So that's my thing there. But looking at Minecraft Legends, I'm actually really keen for this, because it's a bit of almost tower defense with resource gathering. And I'm kind of in for that sort of multiplayer aspect of that. So I'm kind of digging the RTS. Yeah, it is kind of almost RTS vibes that this game's when my tongue starts working again. Given off. Yeah, I was quite happy to see that.
I think we're both, and I mean, I know I definitely am. Bit of a sucker for cooperative multiplayer, over the general competitive versus stuff. When it's like PvE, when it's PvE, it's not too bad. I feel like I've done my share of like online multiplayer competitive titles of like different genres, but when there's like a co-op one that you can enjoy in partnership, working together as a team, you know, with a friend or a sibling or, you know, whoever that may be, I'm even more excited.
Yeah. So that one was good. There was the Elder Scrolls announcement. Now, I must admit, I need to look into this a little bit, because it was about Elder Scrolls Online, and it basically made all the previous chapters available, but I think you had to buy the base game to go with this. So I'm just having a quick read about this now. And I think it'll give the next expansion Necrom as well. Yeah, I need to double check that, but I'm pretty sure you needed to have the base game. But it's an MMO, no subscription fee, so you get the game and you've just got it. And you unlock like all the previous chapters and 20 DLC packs are available as well. So if you're into your MMOs, I know one of the old Goa stalwarts, Inferno, loved his MMOs and would always go back to the Elder Scrolls Online. So I think there's some good stuff in there for people to have a look at right there. And one that I know Doom Cutie, one of our writers, that would absolutely love is Forza Motorsport as well. So I get a little bit confused about this. So I think we have to say that there, Forza Motorsport is different to Forza, isn't it? I'm pretty sure.
I know that for, like, as far as I'm aware, in my limited car racing knowledge, like Forza Motorsport is all the track based. Games, and then Forza Horizon is all the open world ones. But I didn't realize you can't call it just Forza.
Yeah, no, because there's like two different they're two different streams of it. So to the uninitiated,
yeah, right,
it would be like Motorsport and Horizon look similar, the same, if I want to get shot. But yeah, so like they're kind of similar but different. So
you can't just call it Forza.
No, well, Forza is the overarching brand for it, but Motorsport and Horizon are different.
Oh yeah. But yeah, the new Forza Motorsport game they showed at the showcase. Did they give a date for that one?
I don't think they have just yet. I think it's still coming. Looking at the article on GameOnOz.com that Doomy put together, she says that there was no release date, and also says that she was slightly deflated, which is understandable. She loves her Forza games.
Yeah, I think a lot of Starfield fans were probably feeling pretty deflated. There is still no news on Starfield.
Yeah, there's a lot of talk that one may not actually come about this year at least, anyway. Which, look, man, like, the games do that sometimes. Like, they disappear for a while. I still have no idea what's going on with Metroid Prime 4. The last announcement we got with that was like 3 years ago, and it was basically, cool, well, you know, we've been developing this. We haven't liked how it's being developed, so we scrapped it and started it again. And that was the last we heard.
I should probably not get you started on Advance Wars 1 and 2 then.
Oh, don't you? Well, that one annoys me more because it was ready to come out, and the only reason that it got stopped was because of the war in Ukraine, which is fair enough. Like, you don't want to be releasing a war game as, you know, an actual war is breaking out. But, yeah, where is it? It's like a year later now, and we still haven't seen it. Come on, Nintendo, pick up your game.
We should have a competition to see what comes out first, Metroid Prime 4 or Skull and Bones. We should have a few competing titles of a few things that have been delayed and just see. We'll put our names down for which ones we think will actually come out first. Or Starfield.
Oh. Yeah, that too. But yeah, so those were some cool titles that are coming from the developer direct from Bethesda and Xbox, and a lot of most of them are coming this year. Like, apart from, I think, Forza Motorsport, that didn't have a date, but the Elder Scrolls expansion is coming out later this year. Minecraft Legends is April 18th. Redfall May 2nd. Hi-Fi Rush is already out now. So those were some pretty good games that have already got release dates this year. But what are we looking forward to this year? What are you personally looking forward to?
I was looking forward to Skull and Bones. it's fine. What am I looking forward to? Well, obviously the number one game I'm looking forward to is Resident Evil 4 Remake. I got my collector's edition pre-ordered, so I'm very excited for that. Not so excited that it costs more than the Resident Evil Village collection for no good reason, but that's fine.
You could buy, just to put this in perspective, no, you could buy a Switch and a half for the cost that the Resident Evil collector's edition is.
You know what? That's going to come back to bite you. Like when Sonic Zelda comes out, right?
Oh,
you're
going to
do
some
collectors or whatever. I'm going to be like, oh, Jim, did you know you could get like 2 Xboxes for the price? It's going to come back to bite you. I want you all to quote me right now. That's so uncalled for.
Mate,
you.
Leave my Resident Evil alone. If something Legend of Zelda comes out and it's going to cost me like $1,200, I'm going to go, yeah, no, cool, I'm out. In fact, no, it's more than that. What's $1,600? I'm like, yeah, nah, I'm cool. I'm gone. I would buy a new graphics card for that before I bought. I love Legend of Zelda, but my God, if you like $600 though, I'm like you. I could probably justify that. Somewhere in my mind, it would go.
You shut your mouth. Like you leave my Resident Evil out of this. Anyway, moving on. What else am I looking forward to?
What about Silent Hill 2? I know Mikey is looking forward to that.
I've actually never played Silent Hill, so I don't have maybe that same excitement. But the same friend who got me into Resident Evil did tell me that I should play Silent Hill, so I should probably listen to them. What else is coming out this year? Well, apparently Spider-Man is supposed to be coming out in Australian spring, allegedly. Don't quote me. So I would really like to get Spider-Man 2. God, there is more. Obviously, Star Wars, which we'll talk about, I'm sure, because you and I obviously both love Star Wars.
It's next on our run sheet. Yep.
It is indeed. What else? I thought I had more in order. Like, I was looking forward to Forspoken, and I just decided, not because of the reviews or anything, but just because I didn't have the money for it, and with the Resident Evil collectors, I thought it might just take a back seat. But what else is coming out this year? Well, I have a think. What are you looking for? Oh, no, hold on.
Well, yeah, no, you've done it now. You've opened that can of worms. Because...
Here we go.
Well, there are two that I'm really looking forward to, but I think the number one that I have to pick is Tears of the Kingdom. Like my brain went Breath of the Wild 2. No, it's not Breath of the Wild 2 anymore. It's Legend of Zelda Tears of the Kingdom. I am just super pumped for this game, although I do wish they would release another trailer. Like what is it? May the 12th, I think, is the release date for that. So we're getting to about 4 months out from that, and it's a little bit more information would be nice, but I'm just excited to see Ganondorf back and excited to see what the glowy arm is, and just to get the sequel to Breath of the Wild, because Breath of the Wild broke a lot of Zelda conventions, but it breathed, no pun intended, a lot of life back into the franchise as well. Don't judge me. I'm going to pun...
I rolled my eyes so hard. I
felt that from here.
I felt it through the screen. I'm just having a look to see what else is coming out this year. The Suicide Squad game is supposed to come out in May. I know I'm looking forward to that, especially as well. It's Kevin Conroy's last performance as Batman. Now, the games, I'll be quick, but I'm just going to rattle off a few that actually don't have a proper day, but are supposed to be coming out this year. Are hopefully coming out this year, but haven't been confirmed. So there's Alan Wake 2, which I'm personally looking forward to. I think Assassin's Creed Mirage was one of those other Ubisoft games that got delayed, which was supposed to come out, I think, the first half of this year, off memory. What else have we got here? I mean, I'm obviously going through the ones that I know I'd be keen... So maybe I'm being a bit biased. Final Fantasy VII Rebirth. I don't know if that's supposed to be for this year, but obviously it's been announced.
Isn't Final Fantasy 16 supposed to be coming out this year as well? It'd feel a bit weird.
It is. I'm sure it is. Wasn't it at E3? Yeah. No, you're right. No, E3. The Game Awards. Oh my God. I've got all our stories all mushed in my brain. Apart from that, Silent Hill, Starfield, God knows when. The Avatar game, like, does anyone remember when that was announced 50 years ago?
Which one was that? Because I did see that there was an Avatar mobile game that launched recently.
No, it's a different one. It was called Avatar Frontiers of Pandora.
Oh, sorry, wrong Avatar.
Oh, you're thinking of The Last Airbender.
Yeah. Sorry. I'll always think of Avatar: Last Airbender rather than the blue people. The blue people to me are still alien people.
Yeah.
Blue people to me are still Smurfs.
Yeah. Otherwise, that's kind of it. Oh, so, Hades 2. Sorry. Oh my god. How did I forget Hades 2?
I'm disappointed in you, Stormy. How can you forget that one?
Well, yeah, I know. It was all a blur that time of year when the Game Awards happened.
That was another one that kind of came out of nowhere as well. Like, with the success of Hades, you thought that they'd be working on another game. But to get a Hades 2, yeah.
They kept that under wraps really well. Yeah. But I feel like we need to talk about Jedi Survivor.
I think just quickly before we do that, White Monkey's posted in chat. He's looking forward to Hogwarts Legacy, which I know Doom Cutie is looking forward to as well from our writing staff here. Like a Dragon, Ishin, Crime Boss, Rockaway City are his ones. But also there's an article on our website as well. One that Natty actually put in there, and I didn't even know was coming along, was The Wolf Among Us 2. So this was one of the Telltale games, and I absolutely adored The Wolf Among Us. So you played as the wolf. It was all sort of fairy tale based, but it was very darkly done. And the way the Telltale people did it, like, most people will probably remember Telltale from the Walking Dead series that they did. But before that, they would revive point and click adventure for touchscreen devices, because they did a Sam and Max one, they did a Back to the Future one as well before
Batman.
And they also did The Wolf Among Us before it. They kind of disappeared a little bit, but the some of the original devs formed their own studio, Ad Hoc Studio, so that's coming up to be released as well. So I'm very excited to see that. Raven Sky, a little bit like you, Stormy, very keen on Resident Evil 4.
Good taste, so, that's why.
Yeah. And also Grumpy as well, Grumpy Gorn, very keen on Resident Evil. And Arlentric has picked one called Super Zoo Story, which kind of looks a little bit like Stardew Valley ish. So, and I know that that's right up Arlentric's alley. He really loves those sorts of farming indie type games. So
Just before I forget, there is a game that I'm looking forward to, which I don't it doesn't have a release date yet, but it gives me those kind of slight Stardew-ish vibes. Is called Witchbrook, and I feel like I've mentioned this last year. And the art style and stuff is so, so cute. I can't wait for Witchbrook. So hopefully we get a update on it soon. But also the people behind Stardew, or the guy behind Stardew, I should say, is coming out with another game called The Haunted Chocolatier. But I don't think that has a date yet off memory. It's just been announced. So I'm sure Alentric and I will talk a lot about those when those get released too. For anyone that likes those kind of games like we do.
Mm.
I can't believe anyone didn't mention Final Fantasy VII Part 2. Didn't I mention it? I thought I did.
Yeah.
Rebirth? Don't worry. Mm-hmm. I didn't forget.
There is one game that we haven't mentioned, though, because we wanted to talk a little bit about this one, and that's Star Wars Jedi Survivor. Now, I absolutely adored Fallen Order.
Like, me too.
I'm a huge Star Wars fan. Like, if you could see my shelves in here, you would see all my Star Wars Lego, my tub of Star Wars video games that I just constantly buy more of from. I've got like an Atari 7800 version of Empire Strikes Back here somewhere. I never played it because I don't have an Atari, but that's something
else. Beside the point.
Yeah, that's how I've got it there. And when Fallen Order came out, for me, that was a big revelation, because it was the only other Star Wars games that had been released since EA had gotten their 7-year license to do it were Battlefront and Battlefront 2. And both of those were, they were
okay. Not,
they were all right, but they were like full-on multiplayer, and I wasn't a huge fan of that.
Well, two did have a campaign, but like I wish that was so much longer.
Yeah.
And by the time Battlefront 2 actually got good, I feel like it was too late, and I'm sure you feel the same.
Yeah. And the story, like, I was kind of really hyped for the story part of it when they said you're going to play as an Imperial. But like two missions in and they defect. Yeah, they defect to the Alliance and it's just like, oh, okay, cool.
Yeah, well, I agree. I'm so glad you said that because I love Janina Gavankar. I think she's awesome. She played Iden Versio. And I felt the same. I was like, this is so cool playing on the other side. And it just made me wish the story was longer so we got to see more of that development of her, you know, switching.
Yeah.
But yeah, I agree. It happened way too quickly. Like it was a good story. Spoilers. It came out years ago. Well, okay.
I was about to say that. There's two things that I put on caveats on spoilers usually. One, the age of the game. This game is way old. And you should if you've had the chance to play it now, if you wanted to play it, you would have played it. And two, it happens that early in the game. I don't actually class it as a spoiler.
I don't think it'd be a spoiler either. It came out in 2017. It's literally all like it's turning six this year. Oh, God, it's turning six. Oh, man. Why is it that so long ago? Yeah, it's turning six. So I think, you know, once you're past the 5-year mark, you know, you're free to run wild.
That's it. I think it's fair enough. And, like, I've been guilty of it myself. Like, I've spoiled games because I thought there's no chance in hell I'm ever going to play it. Like, I did that with Horizon Zero Dawn. I bought that in Steam sales because I thought, I'm never going to play this. And I already knew the twist at the end. Even stuff like The Last of Us. I know the big spoiler at the end of The Last of Us, and I know a little bit about The Last of Us 2, and I have no intention to play that. But that's what
right? Yeah. It's funny because like the people I'm working with, one of them wants to watch the TV show, which is brilliant, by the way. Like that could be a whole other thing to talk about, but. Yeah, one of them is not going to watch the show yet, and they literally just picked up a PlayStation so they could play the game because they had a feeling they would really like it. Mm. And it's so hard because obviously the game's been out for so long to not just assume that people already know. But for me, like, I haven't finished The Last of Us Part 2, and then I had my friends, like, rip into me recently and be like, well, it's been long enough, like, and I'm like, yeah, I know. I'm sorry. I can see both sides, but yeah, when a game's 6 years old, like Battlefront 2, or about to be six, I feel like that one can slide for sure.
Mm-hmm. And sorry, I'm seeing like the Star Wars game comments in there, and I'm loving it because, yes, Natty, I loved Rogue Leader on the GameCube as well. And for so long, that was like my favorite Star Wars game until I went back and played Rogue Leader on the Nintendo 64. And that is one of my favorite games now. And because I miss playing the Nintendo 64 one, and going back and playing it, it's just like everything that is in Rogue Leader was pretty much in Rogue Squadron. It was just polished up a bit more and a couple of extra features there. But it was just, it's such a good series. It's just a shame that they tried to put in like a person level in the third one. That did not go well. But anyway,
Jedi Survivor.
Yes, I was about to say. Let's get back on this.
Back to 2023.
I'm sure that's it. Back in 2023. So it came out today that unfortunately Star Wars Jedi Survivor has been delayed. Luckily, not a huge amount. So the original release date is the 17th of March, and it's been pushed back to the 28th of April. So what's that? That's like 5 weeks. So yeah, it's not a huge amount, which is nice. But the statement from EA says, for the last 3 years, the Jedi team here at Respawn has poured its collective heart and soul into Star Wars Jedi Survivor. And we are proud to say the next chapter in the tale of Cal Kestis is content complete. We are now focused entirely on the final stage, bug fixes to enhance performance, stability, polish, and most importantly, the player experience. Jedi Survivor is a direct response to the feedback from our community, delivering expansive destinations to explore, evolved combat and traversal, and of course, the continuation of the Cal and BD story. Making this game has truly made us a better team, and we have pushed ourselves at every level to make this the Star Wars game sequel our fans expect from Respawn and Lucasfilm Games. In order for the team to hit the Respawn quality bar, provide the team with the time that they need, and achieve the level of polish our fans deserve, we have added 6 crucial weeks to our release schedule. Star Wars Jedi Survivor will now launch globally on April 28th. Thanks to EA and Respawn for giving us the time to deliver the best experience for our players, and to all of you for understanding.
You know what? I feel like we've been grown so accustomed to experiencing these delays. Every time you see your favorite, like, upcoming game, their social media account, just post a picture full of text. Yeah. It's like that GTA meme where it's like, oh, shit, here we go again. Yeah. How are you feeling about this delay, Jim?
Look, I'm conflicting emotions at the moment, because I do like that they're taking time to polish it, to give the devs a bit of breathing room to make sure that they cross the T's and dot the I's and get it out there. But I'm also excited about this game. And it's okay to feel like that. It's okay to be a little bit disappointed, I think. But you also need to understand where the game is. And at the end of the day, 5-6 weeks, what's that matter? Although there is a comment from White Monkey in Twitch chat here that says, why didn't they go a week further to May 4th? And now I'm kind of going, why didn't they do that? That would have been perfect.
What else is coming up? Maybe something else is coming up. I'm thinking of the logistics of it. But I think, you know, if anything, especially with, you know, the pandemic and things like that, where obviously a lot of things had to be delayed, I think, and I could be wrong, I obviously don't speak for every gamer, but I feel like more people have just kind of come to accept that it is what it is, for the lack of a better phrase to use.
I think people have become more understanding from the point of view that there's been a lot more of a spotlight shone on developer crunch and what they're doing to actually get games out. So I think people have seen those conditions and become more understanding of why games get delayed.
I think as well, especially, like, I hate to bring up this game again because I really want to still try it and like it. Like, Forspoken, for example, and the amount of comments I've seen about the visuals of that game, obviously we've become accustomed to a certain standard when it comes to, you know, performance and things like that as well as visuals. You know, you have to kind of, I feel like, be at a point to be like, well, look, if this game had come out at the proper time, you know, maybe everyone would be ripping into this one as well. Do you know what I mean? So I think, like, for me personally, I've never really been too phased when things get delayed. Usually that means I could just save a bit more money for a little bit longer.
Put it towards your Resident Evil collector.
Yeah,
edition.
Well, yeah. You see, that was a bit of a conundrum I was in, because Jedi Survivor was coming out literally the week before Resident Evil 4 came out, and I went, oh my god, I was like, no, please. And now this feels like a blessing in disguise. But I feel like if the worst thing you've got to worry about is a game getting delayed, I think you're doing okay. know what I mean?
Exactly.
So I you know what, I think we should just the game will come out when it's meant to come out.
Yep. Yeah. I am a little bit worried about it, though. Not from the point of view of the delay. The delay is, like you say, the delay is what it is. And we're going to get a better game because of it. But when I spoke a little bit earlier about when Fallen Order came out, it came after Battlefront and Battlefront 2. And EA were pretty hands-off with it. They basically said, you go do your little pet project. And then it was so good that it became a hit, because it was what fans wanted. They wanted a nice story-driven game where you can go around swinging a lightsaber, you know? And it was just done so well. And I feel like it was able to flourish because it didn't have that attention. And now that they're making a sequel, I wonder how much more impact EA has had on it. Like, have they been pushing to do a certain thing where the developers are gone, maybe we don't want to do that? And or have they stood up and gone, no, this worked for us last time, we're going to do it again? Exactly, Charlie Goff. Get their grubby little fingers off it.
Do you think, as a Star Wars fan, after, like, because obviously I went through the same thing as well. As a Star Wars fan, after the effects, I guess, of Battlefront 1 and 2, do you worry that we maybe enjoyed Jedi Fallen Order a lot more because we were kind of not expecting too much?
I think that there's definitely a lot of that around it. And there will also be, with Survivor, a bit of expectation that goes along with it, because expectations were low for Star Wars games when Fallen Order came out, and because it was such a pleasant surprise. And I do remember thinking at the time, like, because there was a couple of people that sort of, well, there was a good segment of the internet that popped up and said, yeah, it's not that good a game. And you look at it and you go, look, it's kind of Souls light. You know, the combat in it was really cool. But as a Star Wars fan, this is like the best Star Wars game we've had in years. And there was definitely a bit of that, oh, we've actually gotten a half decent Star Wars game here. What's going on? And we were taken a little bit unawares by it, and now with Survivor there is the risk of expecting too much, I think.
Yeah, I think that's, for me, a potential fear that I have, because there's no doubt that I enjoyed Star Wars Jedi Survivor Fallen Order, right? And all the things we're talking about with Battlefront before, about not having a campaign, and then when we did have a campaign, it wasn't for long enough, and it didn't explore the things that we wanted to see as Star Wars fans. So
the lack of campaign didn't worry me a whole lot, because I played the OG Battlefront, you know, Battlefront that came out in 2005, and I think it was 2006 or 2007 Battlefront 2 came out. And the OG Battlefront 1 and 2 had very similar trajectories to the newer Battlefront 1 and 2, because the original Battlefront was just multiplayer. It didn't have... It kind of had a campaign, but the campaign was basically you play against bots. And it was the same maps, it was the same objectives. Battlefront 2 had a bit more of a campaign from the point of view of the 501st Legion, and went right from the Battle of Geonosis and Attack of the Clones up to Return of the Jedi and the Battle of Endor there. But it was still those maps with slightly different objectives. So there was still, it was still very similar, and there was a lot less game modes in the original Battlefronts. But what made Battlefront 2 really great, especially on PC, was the modding community, because they released I'm trying to remember who did it. I can't remember who made the game at the time, but when they released Battlefront 2, they released a map editor, so people could make their own maps without having to actually mod them. And that was brilliant. Like, there were so many levels that people made that were just so good. I remember playing a Dathomir level, and there was for people that don't know, Dathomir was the home of the Night Sisters, and they rode Rancors and stuff like that. So the Night Sisters weren't there, but there were Rancors around the place, and it was so good. Like when you leave that sort of stuff up to the creative modding community, there'll be so many good things there. But like the newer Battlefronts, they had more modes, but it didn't feel the same. Like it felt like, particularly the loot boxes, which, I mean, what can you say about these loot boxes in Battlefront other than it forced the countries to actually look at it and ended in some countries banning them altogether. That's how bad these loot boxes were, you know. So I think the game itself may have been considered fine if it didn't have that stigma also attached with it. Because I think you had to get cards to unlock heroes like that. And I think someone said if you wanted to unlock Darth Vader based on kind of the odds, you would have to play for 10,000 hours to have even a remote chance of unlocking him. So there was some stuff like that was done that definitely was not not cool.
Yeah, I think, yeah, I guess, like, for me, I'm just thinking, you know, we had such a rocky most, you know, kind of recent years. I reckon, oh, I feel like the first Battlefront came out 2014 or 15.
I think it was 15. So, you
know, yeah, I feel like it was 15 as well. So we had a bit of a rocky, you know, few years with two Star Wars games. Obviously, when Fallen Order came out, it was exciting and it was like, oh my God, this is kind of what we wanted. And I think the fact that maybe, like, I know myself kind of went in with no expectations, wasn't expecting too much of it, maybe I enjoyed it more. But I think it just means they've got a bit more of the work cut out for them with the new game and also meeting those expectations and even exceeding them. So I think if they need to take the extra 5 weeks to, you know, to delay it and let it do its thing, that's fine. And like you said, yeah, it's only 5 weeks. It's not like they've pushed it to Christmas or anything like that.
That's it. That's it. So very much looking forward to that. And also gives me a little bit more time to play it as well, because, you know, 17th of March is St. Patrick's Day. I'm going out for some drinks then. So now I don't have to worry about trying to play the game on day one.
It won't be nagging you in the back of your mind.
It won't. But what might be nagging in the back of E3's mind in particular is that it was reported this week that the big three, Xbox, Sony and Nintendo, will not be attending E3 2023. So E3, I'm sorry, I was just trying to remember if we had an in-person E3 yet, but no, this will be the first one in 4 years, which is a big deal. E3 was this huge thing. It was a trade show where journalists could go and try the games and whatnot, but, you know, COVID obviously made that. But even before COVID, E3 was kind of on the downslide a little bit. Like it had already pivoted to trying to get to more sort of influencer type people. So, and I think that this is one thing that E3 had over things like PAX. PAX is a convention, anybody can buy a ticket and attend. E3 is a trade show where you have to apply and get like your journalist badges or media badges and stuff like that. And the minute they started kind of opening it up to influencers, it was a bit of a downward slope, I feel. And I think they're even, I'm not sure if it was this one or the last in-person one that they were doing that was starting to sell tickets. And like Charlie Golf saying in chat, he says the big three haven't attended for a decade, but I'm pretty sure, no, because Breath of the Wild had a big stand there in 2017. I think that might have been the last time Nintendo did a big thing there. And it was the only thing they brought to E3 that year. And I'm pretty sure Microsoft have been there, were there the last couple of times as well. But I feel like for those, the big companies, it's become a hell of a lot easier for them to do their highly curated, highly scripted digital presentations. I'm not sure why, like, actually, I do know why, because it is like that. Like, I remember when Skyward Sword, another Zelda title, you can put another one on the counter, thanks. when that got released, and Miyamoto himself has gotten up on stage and hasn't been able to get the motion controls for the Wii to work. So when you do a pre-recorded, curated show like that, it gets rid of all that ambiguity. And even, like, you don't get the moments like, have you not got phones? Because the crowd reception to something is just so bad that the person on stage doesn't really know how to react, you know? It gets, and I think I know why the companies are doing it, but nothing can substitute for in-person stuff and going there and getting hands-on with demos. And it was one of the things that I loved the most about my first PAX last year was that you could just go and try things and you could talk to the devs there. And I think if the big companies aren't there, because if Xbox is not there, that probably means no Bethesda and any of the studios they own. If Sony's not there, no Insomniac Games, no, they won't be talking about the next Spider-Man there. And yeah, it just, it kind of starts feeling really, really empty.
Yeah, I'm just doing some fact checking. The last time that Sony, I think, was at E3 was in 2019. And then I'm just trying to see Xbox. Xbox has been doing their own thing for, I feel like, a little while now. And Breath of the Wild actually does sound quite familiar for when I last remember seeing Nintendo there. But yeah, they've all kind of dropped off. And like, I personally think the Nintendo, like them doing their own announcements and things like that actually work really well. Like, obviously there's the excitement, of when some of them would all blend together and things like that. But I kind of like them doing their own thing. I feel like Xbox, Bethesda Showcase, Nintendo Direct. I don't know, what does Sony call theirs? Do they not call it anything?
State of play.
State of Play. I feel like they do all really well on their own, and I feel like there's just more of like a focus and a I
But
don't know, a
they're
bit more of
also
a.
sterile though, like, and they feel produced to within an inch of their life.
I
And
know, but like, think about when we watched the Game Awards. Well, we kind of watched it together, didn't we? Like, some of that was really corny, and I was just like, I was like, I just kind of want to get on with it. So I don't actually mind
But
the kind of format you're referring to, because it kind of just gets to the point.
they're different things though, because as much as we like seeing which games get the awards and whatnot, the Game Awards exists as an advertising platform. They're there to sell advertising space. Whereas if you go to something like E3, these people are they paid to be there. Like, E3 is, but the present Charlie, but the presentations that the companies give there aren't, if you get what I'm saying. Like, they're advertising what they've got, but they want it to look as cool as possible, And I don't know. I just nothing can substitute for in-person events. And like, White Monkey is also right with what, like, I pointed out the negative things that happen when you do a live showcase, but then you also don't get the Keanu Reeves moments of "You're breathtaking," You miss out on that kind of thing as well. So it's and like a crowd reaction of everybody clapping and cheering when something absolutely amazing happens. It's I get that it costs more. I get that there's a lot of chaos that goes on in it, but live events, I feel, just generate so much more buzz than a pre-recorded video shown.
Yeah, I feel like for me personally, Nintendo Directs have probably been the weakest in terms of, as much as I love Nintendo, I'm not saying I don't like the Nintendo Directs, but I feel like that's a really good example of like a pre-recorded show that just doesn't have any like energy or life to it. Do you know what I mean?
I think that's also a little bit because we've lost Iwata to start with. Like, he was big. Like, remember the direct they did where they were all puppets? How good was that? You don't remember
No,
that?
I don't know. I don't remember
Oh,
that.
like, it was when Reggie Fils-Aimé was still involved with Nintendo of America as well. And I've got to find that now.
But I see where you're coming from there, but that like, and I know you'll be like, no, but it's not the same, but I'm sure they can just get someone else to bring that same kind of energy, Like I just feel like when I'm watching I don't know. I don't know. I don't know. Maybe I'm wrong.
Here we go. So for those playing along at home, this footage was from a Nintendo Direct a few years ago. So they made every I can't even remember why they were doing it, but they made Iwata into a puppet, and they made Miyamoto into a puppet, and Reggie Fils-Aimé into a puppet, and it was creative, stupid, but at the same time amazing, But yeah, I feel like I don't know why, but you've got someone with the surname Bowser. Why aren't you trotting him out to stuff more? It
It's so
just
random.
I know I absolutely love the whole Nintendo Direct presentation
Well,
of
look, it
these
did its
puppets.
job because it's still ingrained in your brain, this whole segment.
That's it. It's like it's. This is what people will remember, and like the silly Muppet walk with the shoulders going down the hallway, and just, but it was just it was. This sort of thing I think Phil needs to be like, if you're going to do a pre-recorded presentation, this is what you need to do with it. And it needs to be supported by hands-on stuff, not just, you know, we show in our presentation, well, that's it, digital, that let's go, you know. You need to, if you're going to do a digital presentation, you need to put out game demos afterwards so people can try it and see what it's like. And you need to, if you're doing it at a big show, you need to show your presentation and then do like your Nintendo Treehouse stuff, where you're showing off the game and talking about it more on the show floor. And that's just, that's what you need to do. We'll see what, then here's a good one White Monkey's put in there. Devolver Digital showcases. Oh my God, they are amazing. And I'm
getting so distracted by this video.
I know, I'm about to turn it off because now I do remember that there was like some Star Fox thing that they were doing. So they're slowly turning into Fox McCloud, Peppy Hare and Falco.
Oh my God.
Yeah, and yeah, Reggie's just got the beak. Sorry, I'm turning it off now. But yeah, it's you need to make the presentations fun and interesting, not just here's the game trailer for this game that we've been looking forward to, and I am dramatic voiceover guy. I was going to go further with that, but then I had to cough. But yeah, like I think that there are ways that you can do your online shows really, really well, but you have to do them really well. It can't just be a whole heap of trailers stitched together.
I can respect that. I can understand. I think I'm kind of like on the fence about it all. I think I see both sides. Like part of me when there's announcements, I'm kind of like, just get to the point. But at the same time, those moments where you can see a crowd react to something is so fun.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, I can see both sides. I think I'm remaining pretty neutral on this, though.
Mm-hmm. It will be interesting to see what E3 does though, and if they're able to pull together some good, like, yeah, see what other game devs they can bring together for that sort of thing. So yeah, fingers crossed it's successful, because I think it's something that we need. Like we've got the PAXs of the world and like the Game Expo that's coming up in Melbourne in March as well for an Australian thing, but but there's still something that's there that needs to be there for the journalism side of things. Because, yeah, everybody's going to have an opinion on something, but getting that advance look at things, I think, is the key. And more the demo side of things. Like, I kind of get the feeling that I would have no problem with these presentations if more companies released demos.
I wonder if part of it's just like that kind of suspense, like the unknown, like whether they feel like a demo, even if it is just a demo, might not give too much away. I don't know what I'm trying to say. Like I think it ruins the mystery of, or the anticipation of, you know, getting it in your hands. But then like, yeah, I guess I can see the other side too. Mm. I don't remember the last time I've actually played a demo of something.
I played a few, like every time like Steam festivals happen, there's a few indie games that'll put up demos. Like I think Miska Tiny Tail, I played a demo of that. But the last big game that I can remember actually releasing a demo was Hyrule Warriors Age of Calamity. And the really good thing they did was they basically released the first couple of levels of the game. But what it let you do was, if you did play the demo, it would let you continue the game on from that point, so you didn't have to play those levels again, which was really cool.
Right. Well, Natty says demos actually decrease sales, so that's why we've seen them less, which I can understand, because, like, yeah. I guess, well, like, when if you have a demo, like, oh, I'm going to bring it up again, I'm so sorry, Forspoken had a demo, and I'm not doing this on purpose, I promise.
Do we need a counter for you for Forspoken?
No, this is probably the last time I talk about the game now. they had a demo, and I feel like when you have a demo, people can make their minds up about something, or feel like they can make their minds up about something in that short amount of time, because obviously the demo is supposed to sell the game to you. But I guess if you don't have the demo, you can't do that, and you do have to buy the whole game and just hope for the best.
I can see that. So if you don't like the opening bits, then yeah, you're not going to buy the rest of the game. But there is some interesting stuff that's come out of Game Pass, and I think it's worked more for indies than for the bigger titles. But I do remember reading some research, but don't quote me on it because it was a while back, where indie studios saw an increase in sales when their game went on Game Pass, which kind of sounds counterintuitive, because if you're playing it on Game Pass, you're probably playing it, you're not paying anything for it. Like, I don't know the ins and outs of the contracts behind it, whether, you know, a game gets, like a developer maybe gets a certain amount of money depending on how many people download and play it. But it was an interesting fact that some indie devs saw an uptake in their sales, even though the game was being offered on Game Pass. And so I can see for bigger games, people probably go, yeah, cool, I played the demo, I don't really like this. But I think still for indie games, and it's why you still see a lot of demos for indie games, that still works. Like, it generates interest in their game.
Yeah.
Cool. Look, well, we've got a nice long episode this week, but I think we might cut it there. It's so great to be back and talking games. Absolutely.
Yeah, it's good. I think this is like how long the show's gone today has been pretty evident of how much we miss talking about games. It's gotta keep going. We had more to say, but
we did. I know we're not going to talk about it in depth, but I want to bring it up because I absolutely love the game. Marvel Snap released a friend combat thing today, so if you're into that, get the friend set up a little fight and give your friend the code, and then you can battle each other. So definitely
do that.
Have
you been playing that consistently?
I have, like,
I was going to say, if you haven't played it a while, I'd be willing to battle you in it, but I feel like you'd have such better cards than me by now.
I've refined a couple of decks, so I've got a good destroy deck and a good discard deck now, and I've got decks built solely around doing certain objectives. So like, there's one that says win a location with one card, and so I've got a card in there, Infernaut. He's a 6-cost card, but he's got 20 power, but you can't play him if you played a card the round before. So it basically means that if you want to play him, you've got to play nothing on your 5 energy round. But for meeting that objective of winning a location with one card, I will take a loss to get that objective.
Oh, yeah. My God.
But anyway, yes.
You play that way too much.
I really have. Like, I play that multiple times a day. In fact, I haven't had a chance to play it today, and I'm getting the shakes. So
I'm going to log off here and I'm going to play it.
Yeah, I need to do my daily
stuff. Get your Marvel Snap fix.
But yeah, thank you, everybody, for tuning in and watching again. It's been great to see you all back. We're definitely looking forward to getting back in the studio, which... I think it's still a couple of weeks away, but it'll be very exciting when we get back in there. Lots of exciting things happening for Goa, some different little bits of content that are out there. Definitely stay tuned for that. Follow us on our Twitter, our Instagram, Facebook. Here, obviously, if you're not following, please follow. Like, comment, subscribe. Is that what I'm supposed to say?
Yeah, you got it.
And yeah, just keep an
eye
out.
Turn on notifications.
That's it. Go put book. Make our website one of your home pages. So when you open up your web browser of choice, it's right there, and you can see all the latest content written there. But yeah, I think I've shilled out enough for all the stuff that we do. So thank you everybody for watching. We'll see you tomorrow night for Nuts and Bolts at 5 o'clock Australian Western Standard Time. And yeah, we'll see you next week, Stormy.
See you next week.